Thanksgiving. I'm excited about preaching a Thanksgiving message, partly because the Lord has just touched my heart. It feels like, man, I shouldn't preach this once every year. This needs to be something we need to hear more often, how important Thanksgiving is in our lives. But before we jump into this, let's go ahead and dismiss the children to their time of children's church and allow them to get to their service. I know they're having a great time with Mr. K this month in November. We think towards Thanksgiving. It's good for us to remember what God did and how this holiday originated. You know, God preserved a small group of separatist Christians who were seeking to get away from the influences of the world in Holland and from the religious persecution of England. They had left for what was the wilderness, really, of the New World. And it was a perilous journey. On the Mayflower, no one miraculously died, even though they had several close calls, except for the one sailor who openly mocked the pilgrims on their journey over. The providence of God was in that. Before they arrived, the most savage tribe of the New England area contracted a terrible disease that was so devastating it wiped out the entire tribe. So bad and so horrible was that disease that the surrounding Indians considered the area to be cursed and would not even live there. The location was Cape Cod, where God sovereignly directed them to land. After landing in 1620, they lived off the Mayflower until they were able to build houses, and they endured a very rough, hostile, frostbiting winter of the New England states. They lost 44 of the original 102 that came over. And yet, despite all of that, they planted their crops in the summer, and with the first autumn harvest, they came to celebrate with a harvest dinner. It was not just a time of food, but it was a 3 days of rejoicing with songs, of praise, of sermons, and times of prayer. But in fact, little was actually recorded at that time. We only have a few sentences about it in a journal from one of those that were living there. But actually, it was 2 years later that the pilgrims would have what they called their first Thanksgiving. There was a time of great drought, so much so that they got to the place that they realized they had to pray and ask God for him to break this drought. Their lives were depending upon it. So they got together for a day of fasting and prayer. The day began as any others, hot and dry. But after 9 hours of prayer, the sky became overcast, and a gentle rain began to fall. It lasted 14 days. And when that was finished, they came together for a feast to express their thanksgiving to God. It's interesting, George Washington called for a day of Thanksgiving, even at the beginning of our nation, but it was not really celebrated with regularity until 1863, under the direction of Abraham Lincoln, who called for America to have a day of Thanksgiving towards the Lord. And 7 years later, it was signed into law and became a federal holiday. If we go back and look at those original pilgrims, when they celebrated a holiday, it really wasn't with feasting. It was actually with fasting and prayer. That was how they, and so really Thanksgiving and what they celebrated, that feast was not really considered a holiday for them. Really, Thanksgiving for them was just a holy way to live. And I'm burdened that we understand the same way. That as we come to this time of rejoicing and our families get together and we enjoy what God has given us to enjoy, that it would not be for you and me just a holiday. Thanksgiving would be a holy way to live. And I want us to look at the scripture and see what God has for us. Because when we begin to get a grasp of what God expects and wants and what Thanksgiving really is meant to be for a believer, I think you'll begin to understand how important this has to be for our families and for our homes and for our church. So the first thing I want us to look at as we look towards the Bible and what it teaches us about Thanksgiving is there is a call to thanksgiving in the scriptures. Whether we look to the Old Testament, we find what we heard in our reading before in Psalm 100, verse 4, and you read, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." We're doing a little bit of study on the Psalms, and we're in a section where the praise is beginning to become more intense and more distinct. In Psalm 95, it says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving." Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." God, throughout his scripture, calls his people to thanksgiving. Not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. We've heard that scripture read for us, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Maybe the most familiar verse about thanksgiving is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Just because it's the most familiar, hopefully it means it's the most well-practiced and most obedient. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. For every believer, at all times, in everything, to give thanks." Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." The spirit of gratitude is the expectation of God, is that spirit of gratitude would accompany every activity that we put our hand and our mind to do. And so as we come to this aspect, we have to ask the question, and maybe I'm just simplistic like this, but I want to ask the question, well, what is Thanksgiving? I think we all kind of have an idea of what that means. Someone gives us a gift, and we say thank you. But that really is a little bit on the small scale, because we think of it's just a response of reciprocity, you might call it, or I'm responding to someone else giving something to me. But actually, as we look at the New Testament's use of the word, it really has on the scale of synonymous with praise. In fact, when you just point out the little known fact that Paul, in his writings, does not call, or rarely calls it, in terms of people to praise the Lord. That seems kind of stunning in light of the Psalms and the Old Testament. But what he does call people to do over and over again is to give thanks. And so giving thanks is on the level of worship to God and praise to him. So when we say give thanks, I've kind of broken it down here to an aspect of a joyful acknowledgement to God. Because we think of thanksgiving, it's not about thanking mom or thanking so-and-so or thanking brothers around us. In fact, even the example of the Apostle Paul is he never really thanked anybody in his letters. He always thanked God for the people. His thanks was always oriented towards God. And every blessing he received, he would just say, "I thank God for you." Because he understood that God was behind what those people were doing for him. So there's an acknowledgement to God, and it has to be a joyful acknowledgement. This is not more to, say thank you. Thank you. Say it again. Say it clearly. Don't mumble. No, we can get to that place. We can go through the motions of thanksgiving or saying the words thank you. But we understand that what God means from all this is that there really is a joy that arises in our hearts as we acknowledge to God what he's done. And so there's an aspect of, I think that's why the word benefit is a good word to include in this. Because you are joyful because you realize what God does and who God is beneficial. It's good for me. And I'm so thankful to him. You have to recognize the benefit that he gives and the overflowing. Not that you praise him for the benefit. You just recognize it. Thanksgiving is focused on God. He is the center of our thanksgiving. Not the gifts or what we enjoy. But these things, we recognize who he is through it. And then part of this is the benefit of his glory and gifts. His glory is who he is. His gifts are what he does. And so there's an aspect to which these two really can't be separated. Because who he is what produces and always will produce
his giving towards us. And it's his giving and what he does toward us is what reveals who he is. And so it's in the aspect of what we understand who he is, I mean, what he's done, that we can reflect upon who he is. So in this call to Thanksgiving, I want to kind of lift our minds up a little bit in terms of, I want us to have a grand picture of God. I want you, when you go to your homes, that you, I'm going to call you to have a time of Thanksgiving. Not a time of turkey, not a time of sitting down and watching a football game or just having games and playing. A time of focused Thanksgiving towards the Lord. But I really don't want you to get to that place and go, I don't know what to say. What do we do? There's an aspect we've got to lift our hearts up, and I want us to kind of feel with a sense of, this is how great the landscape. There are uncharted galaxies of Thanksgiving that we can go into. It's as manifold and as detailed as his creation that you can thank him for. It's as deep and long-standing as the history of God's working in this world. It's as long-standing and as personal as God's working in your life. It's as far reaching forward as the plans and the promises of God. These are the scope of which we can be thankful for. So I want us to think, at least put some thoughts in our minds which we can remember. As we think about his glory, I want us to think about we can praise and thank him for the greatness and his power. See, God's glory is all around us. In every hand, the glory of God is shining forth. The creation is a revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God. His firmament showeth his handiworks. Psalm 97, verse 6 say, the heavens declare his righteousness. All the people see his glory. There's not a man, woman, or child here that does not see the glory of God around them. The reality is we don't think of the glory of God when we see his glory. That's our problem. We're seeing his wonder. We're experiencing his goodness, and yet we turn the blind eye to the graciousness of the source. No, we ought to praise God for being the creator. One of the fundamental theologies of Thanksgiving is underneath that, the reason why you can give thanks to God in everything is because he's the creator. 1 Timothy 4:3 says that there were some people who were forbidding to marry, and they were commanding to abstain from meats. And God says, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving. Everything God created for us, he wants us to have a certain response back to him. Have you ever given somebody something? I can tell you an honest fact, not every time you give, you're expecting thanksgiving. You don't expect it. That's not the reason why you give. I know that to be a fact, but it can be rather disheartening when you sacrifice and give to somebody and they don't express thanksgiving. There was a time when we were giving a gift. It was pretty sacrificial. We had to spend it over a large freight cost to get it to a remote location. And there was an aspect that we were really excited. We had sacrificed, pinched our pennies so we could give and do something for them. And we had no clue when it was going to arrive. It could take a month or a month and a half. And we were just kind of waiting and waiting and waiting. And you went 2 months and 3 months and 4 months and never knew if it came. And then actually talked, oh yeah, that did come in. And it didn't seem like it really meant something. Not that you were, we know that it was all about the Lord, but there was just something about how, it was deflating to realize there wasn't appreciation. There wasn't thanksgiving behind it. I know that it's a truism in life. If you're not a thankful person, the people who give to you will probably be your mom. Okay? That'll be about it. It's going to dry up because you've got to express gratitude. You've got to show appreciation. You know what, God? Does he care if we don't give? I mean, give him thanks? Does he notice? Yes, he does. We know the story of the 10 lepers. He recognized the one who returned to give thanks. So here's our God. He's creator. But not only this, the fact that he's king is worthy of thanks. Revelation 11, 17, going to the future praise. The church, the 24 elders are falling down before God and saying, we give thanks, O God, O Lord God Almighty, which art and what's and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Because he sits upon the throne. Psalm 95, 2 was a call to thanksgiving. It tells why. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He sits in authority. And part of thanksgiving, and this is so important to understand, if you give thanks to God, you are recognizing him to be the Lord of all. How do we know this? Well, there's several passages we're going to look at in the New Testament. There's one in Chronicles we'll look at right now. This is a wonderful testimony of towards God of praise. And he says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and the earth is thine. And thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. And thy hand hath power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee. And praise thy glorious name. The foundation of thanksgiving is the fact that everything belongs to you. And if you're creator and you are Lord and you are giving something for us to enjoy, then you deserve for us to respond back to you with appreciation. We have a thankful heart. But not only for his glory and his greatness, but also the glory of his goodness. The Psalms tell us the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. I love that. That graciousness of God, the goodness of God, it permeates everything he does. We think about this in terms of Psalm 104, and if you're looking for a good psalm to read that'll just spark your imagination and creativity for thanking God, it's Psalm 104. Talks about God sending the water from the heavens to fill the streams and to satisfy the thirst of his creatures, and makes trees for birds and fills them with sap, and makes hills refuges for the animals. He says, all wait upon thee, that thou givest them meat in due season, that thou givest them they gather. Thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. See, God is just good in every aspect. All the mundane things, the beautiful rain, the grass coming up, it's just a manifestation of the goodness of God. So we see his glory as a provider, his glory in sustaining all that there is, and then the glory of the fact that he is a Savior. As Brother Kenny mentioned, this ought to be at the top of our list, of our thanksgiving, the cross of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about his glory. Those are things to spark imagination in terms of understanding what he's done. But also don't forget his gifts. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift, every act or motivation of giving is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. You know, he doesn't change. He doesn't change from the day that he sent his son to die on the cross. He is constantly giving, giving, giving in every good thing. You know, all your favorite food, God thought of it. All your favorite places to go, God made it. All your favorite people, he's the ones who make them likable. All your favorite activities and enjoyments, God planned it. It all comes from God. It's not hard to be thankful to God. It's not hard to sit there and say, what can I thank God about? The question is, when will you stop? You just run out of time because of his greatness and his glory. I love to take my kids out on a walk. I want them to go around and say, don't pray for anything. I just want you to thank God for the things that you see. Everything you see around you, God has made. Thank him for something. And just try to teach him to love the Lord and be thankful to him in every aspect. So we see this call to thanksgiving. But you know what? I don't think in all of this that we've really understood yet the richness of thanksgiving that's meant in this word. You know what? Thanksgiving comprises all that God expects from believers. Like, wait a second. That seems like a definite preacher overstatement. What I'm not saying here is that God only wants thanksgiving from your life. If you'll just thank Him, then everything else can go to pot. That's not the point. There's many other aspects that happen. But what I am saying is that thanksgiving is the one thing, when it permeates your life, it ensures that you are right with God. It's a clear indicator of right fellowship with God. Let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I haven't had you turn much. I'm putting a lot of quoting them for you, but let's go ahead and turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at this passage of scripture. It talks about you are the children of God in verse 1, tells them to walk in love as Christ has loved them. Then he tells them some things that you're not supposed to do in verses 3 through 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient. Let's stop there. Go down to verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ and of God. So on this side he's saying, here is all these wicked, bad, terrible behaviors. Don't do these things. If you do these things, you're an idolater. You're going away from God. You're in the darkness. You're not in the light. What's the one characteristic that he highlights of the lights in verse 4? But rather, giving of thanks. You know what? This ought to be the hallmark, the chief characteristic that he sees and experiences when you're around a true believer in God, is that they are constantly giving thanks to God for whatever's going on in their life. Do you know that ingratitude is the hallmark of those who do not know God? Romans 1 gives us an anatomy. It just opens up the heart of unbelieving man. And it's a progression, a stepping downwards into sin and degradation and apostasy. But God is here to say, I've given them the truth, that every man has a revelation of God before them in the creation. Verse 21 says this, but because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Ingratitude is the first step of unbelief. That you're not going to glorify God and give him thanksgiving for the good that he gives unto you. You know, in the last days, one of the descriptions is given in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, this ye know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. There's a connection here between gratitude and holiness. And when you lose gratitude, you lose fellowship with God. And so this is the hallmark. What does God say? For even he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. To be unthankful is to be evil. This is the summary of God's working out. And so when you talk about the unbelieving world in darkness, God is pouring out his love and grace and bounty upon them, and it's crickets. No returning of thanks, no acknowledgement of him. Why is that? We're going to talk about that. It's because it's the reason. It's the very same reason why thanksgiving can be, or thankfulness can be, a word that summarizes the way of life for God's people. How about, since you're in the epistles, turn over to Colossians chapter 2, just one book over to your left. Two books over to your right. Get this straight. Two books to your right. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. He's talking about the life that you have in Jesus Christ. He says, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, you've received him in faith, so walk ye in him, in submission, obedient to him, rooted and built up in him. This is the life of Jesus Christ building up in you, established in the faith, as ye have taught, abounding therein, abounding in the life of Christ, abounding in the Christian walk. How is it going to show itself? Abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so thankfulness ought to be pouring out of our lives. It's interesting. I don't know if you walk in, you kind of notice we're doing a little bit of a construction project out there on the left. And a new aspect of that is that you've got four pallets of stone out sitting out there. And that was actually delivered yesterday. And that was part of my mission to go up. And I had my plans for the day. We're going to go up at 9 o'clock. It's about 1 hour and 15 minutes up there. Take about 30 minutes to load it. 1 hour and 15 minutes back. Get back in 3 hours, 12 o'clock roughly, 12:30. If anything slows us down, and then boom, then I can make sure I got everything ready for Sunday, and I got all these plans and things to go on, and of course, Tom takes his trailer up there, very gracious to do that, so we've got a schedule to make that all that work, and so I thought, I'm going to make sure that when we get there, we've got the stone that we need. So I called up on Tuesday and said, all right, we need at least 400 stone. Can you please help us with this? Do you have enough? And say, oh, we've got over 1,000 here. All right, we're good to go. So I get up and boom, everything's going great. And all of a sudden, as I'm going through the process and the hassle of going through Menards and get to the back counter and finally find the right place, he looks up at me and says, we have one. You have one? Okay. Called. I get assurances, but obviously I should have called the morning of. So I'm like, all right, what are we going to do? All right, okay, now you're pressing thing. I can buy a different color brick, a different color stone. Oh boy, that's a nerve wracking. Right here, right now, I'm going to make a unilateral decision and change what we already decided. I don't want to do that. Or we could go home and come back another time. Tell Tom, sorry, they don't have it. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, and all of a sudden, oh, wait a second. There's another Menards 30 minutes away. Wait a second. That you can't get tax-exempt status there in Missouri. There's another Menards this way, 30 minutes. Okay, call them. Oh, they have just enough. All right, off we go. Getting down there. Go through all the hassle again. Of course, they were pretty efficient, but you get back there. It took the poor gentleman an hour and a half. I don't know how long it took us to load all those things up in there. It just took a long time. Very meticulous. He had a lot of things on his mind. Got towards the end, Tom's praying with him and everything. It was good. And I was, okay, here it is. It's already 12 o'clock. It's coming 2:30. We didn't get back till 5 o'clock. What a long day. And the whole time I'm like, I got to get back home so I can prepare my message on gratitude. Oh. There's an aspect to which, as we say, this is a thanksgiving is a barometer of my fellowship with God. Why was I having struggles? Why was I struggling to give thanks to God in those situations? I was dealing with stress. It was anxious. It was worry. Oh, no, I got to make this work. I got to make this work. And all the time is slipping away. And who cares about my time? But for me, it's all valuable until I get home. Then I can waste any way I want to. But anyway, it's just like, here it is. I was out of fellowship. I wasn't focused upon him, and it was showing up in my life because I wasn't filled with thanksgiving towards him. And so it becomes something, so you can't walk with God and have a spirit of ingratitude. You can't be a complainer, a murmurer, a griper, and enjoy fellowship with God because that's not him. That's not his character. Why is it? Because thanksgiving expresses humility and dependence. When God is acknowledged as the Lord, you're acknowledging God as being the Lord when you thank him, it's really a humbling act of admitting your dependence even for your existence. Even people, modern psychology teach that ingratitude is a sign of personal pride. Because someone doesn't want to acknowledge the need of other people. That's why people are not grateful to others. Because if I say thank you to you, even I can say thank you going through the motion, but if I truly mean it from my heart and I'm thankful, in that moment I'm expressing that I had some sort of need that you were able to meet. And so people will take it, and there's almost an embarrassment in receiving, and they don't even say thank you. Because they don't want to humble themselves. This is why the world doesn't want to acknowledge Thanksgiving. They'd rather call it Turkey Day. Because they don't want to humble themselves before a God and give worship and thanksgiving and praise to Him. You know what Thanksgiving also expresses? It expresses faith. You know what God tells us to do? In everything, give thanks. That means you have to see God as the source of everything. Do you see God as the source of the people around you? Is He the source of your spouse's words? Is He the source of the delays in your life? Is He the source of your pain? Is He the source of these things? Because you can't give thanks to God unless He's the source. And you can't give God thanks to God unless you see the source as giving you something good. But as believers, the Bible says, all things work together for good. That means you can thank Him for anything that comes your way, no matter how bad it may seem at the time. And so you just have to express your thanksgiving and faith to God sometimes, even though you don't know how He's going to use it, what His plan is. But I can still be thankful because I know that's what He deserves. And I trust that He's good, even if I can't understand why. That's why the Bible tells us that thanksgiving and prayer is the key to overcoming anxiety and worry in our lives. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7 says, be careful, or anxious, worried, for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God will keep your heart. Sometimes why we don't have peace, we might have gone to God in prayer, but we didn't go with the faith to thank Him for the answer He was going to give. And so we don't have peace. You got to come with thanksgiving. You got to express faith to God. Thanksgiving also expresses submission. I can prove this from the scripture. If you go to the Romans chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it to the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He's talking about different controversies in the church. One goes one way, the other goes the other way. And he says, okay, you're doing it for the Lord, you're doing it for the Lord. Now listen to these words. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. How do we know? For he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Here in this aspect, the whole issue is about the lordship of Jesus Christ and your personal submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he says, if you can genuinely from your heart, not concoct something up and say, God, thank you for this horrible program we're going to watch. Now I know it's blessed. No, you understand that what you are doing and believe it from God is being His will given to you, and you are giving thanks to God while you do it. That is a sure sign of submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It comes up again in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Why, if by grace, being a partaker, am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks for? If I'm giving and abounding in thanksgiving to God, why are you judging me about that? Because I'm submitting myself to God in honesty and integrity before Him. That's why in thanksgiving comes with it an aspect of submission in gratitude for what God does is a sure sign of rebellion. And so when we come to this thanksgiving, oh, this cannot be a trite ritual for us. We can't just be thanking God over the food. It's got to come from our heart, believing what God is doing in our lives, submitting to what God is doing, and giving Him thanks, even in the confusion. Because this is how we honor Him as God. Two last points here. The first one here is the joy of thanksgiving. And yet, I've tucked this one away because this is my favorite. What I want us to understand is we've saw that thanksgiving is what God requires from us. He's calling us to it. But I want you to know that thanksgiving is a pathway to fellowship with God. We've talked about seeking the Lord. You want to find God. You want God to be in your life. You want to have an experience with Him. You know, if you're going to find somebody, you better know what they're like. You know, for me, if I want to find my son Samuel, I know that, well, if he's not in the house, he's probably maybe swinging on the swings. Or he might be over at the gym. He's throwing, or maybe he's kicking a soccer ball. I know the things he likes. I know where to seek him at. My other son, I say, if he's not in his room, I don't know where he is. there's kind of aspect of you know where to find them because you know who they are. Do you want to find God? Do you know that He is found behind the door of thanksgiving and praise to Him? Do you want to have a closer walk with Him? Do you want to draw closer to Him? Thank Him. Begin your times in communion with God, just pouring out thanks to Him, and He will draw closer to you. I've talked about this aspect of the connection between unthankful and unholy. Holiness means that you're in the presence of God. You've been made worthy, fit there because of Jesus Christ. You're living in compatibility with His presence in your life by your Spirit's power. But that is the main idea, is in the presence of God. And there's a connection between being unthankful and unholy. You can't enter into the presence of God. Come into His gates with thanksgiving, because you come in with any other spirit and you're going to run into the side of the wall. The gates are shut, but to those who come with a spirit of thanksgiving. But not only see that, but see the connection of thanksgiving and prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We've already talked about Philippians 4, 6, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. But let's go back to that really famous or well-known passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. What's the command right before it? Pray without ceasing. If you're going to have a fellowship and a communion, a prayer life with God that's always ongoing, do you know what the spirit of that kind of prayer life is going to be? Ongoing thanksgiving to God. It's how you fellowship with Him. So look at this as a way of saying, you know what? If I want my family to draw closer to the Lord, you know what we need? We need more times of thanksgiving. Because when we start praising to God together, it's going to draw us together as a family closer to Him. So I'm asking you, have a plan of thanksgiving for this holiday. Because thanksgiving must be taught to our children. It must be modeled, and it must be mandated. You know, people have focused on the aspect that you have to thank God from the heart. It's not about externals. It's not about going through the motions. Yes, all that's true. But for children, you don't wait till they're feeling it from the heart. You teach them what God expects. And you say, you must do this because it's right. You tell the truth even if you're a liar inside, because God commands it. You give thanks to God even if you have ingratitude in your heart, because He is worthy of that. And part of what I'm going for is here is by the teaching of the responsibility and placing them in the act of having to do it, you will teach them how to have the right spirit. And of course, it's not without prayer and asking God to fill their lives with His spirit. In response to that, but as parents, we've got to be vigilant. One of the biggest failings I realized as a parent was when my kids would receive something, and off they go. They were just as happy to receive and never say thank you. They're on a dark path if that trajectory continues. And so I realize it's a great responsibility. It's not a form of etiquette. But we can want to teach etiquette. It really is a heart attitude towards God that they express thanksgiving to what God does. And a part of this, I'm going to challenge you as fathers and heads of your homes to set aside time as a family to thank and praise God. You can thank Him for all that there is. You're not going to run out of stuff to thank Him for. You can thank Him for all that's ever happened in your life. You can thank Him for His plan for you and your family in the future. You can, the sky's the limit. But what I would encourage you to do is let everyone go around the room and express thankfulness to God. Make sure it's important that we're expressing thanks to God. Maybe even put it in a form of prayer and make it prayer itself, because it's not just saying, what are the things you're thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for my Game Boy and my room. And, you know, well, okay, but lift their eyes up to realize that they truly understand that the things they enjoy are from God Himself. Maybe you can go through and take a list of attributes and talk about each one and how you can be thankful for God. Explain, there's an aspect of, you've got to know who God is if you're going to thank Him properly. So we've got to know, get to know our God. And we've got to be thankful for what He does. And so I encourage you on every Sunday, honestly, not just Thanksgiving, but every Sunday to have a time of prayer as a family in which you pour out thanksgiving to God. Because what is this day? Whose day is it? The Lord gets 2 hours, 3 hours of this day? Or is it all of His? And it's meant to be a time to do the things we wish we could do every single day of the week. May this not just be a holiday. May Thanksgiving be a holy way of life for our families. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for this call to Thanksgiving, but the great reality, the thing we're most thankful for, is that You're worthy of it. That You deserve all the Thanksgiving we could give, and then more so. You are a wonderful and great God. And so, Lord, our hearts overflow towards You. I pray for the men in this room, that they would purpose in their hearts to lead their families in this special time of worship towards You. May we not be caught up in all the family gatherings, but may we be caught up in the glory of Your name. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, by whom we hope to have entrance in the eternal life forever and ever.
Let's all sing, or let's all stand as we sing page 316. The place where our thanksgiving should come from, our heart. A thankful heart. Oh Lord, You've been so good to me. You've always been so good to me.